say it's off the record if you talk.
Yes.
For the next meeting.
So she started the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, she started
She's doing double duty.
We have an oath of office, that's for the historic preservation.
Is Tony not going to be here?
No.
No, Tony's not here.
And Joe's not going to be here, but he's going to call in.
Oh, he is going to participate?
Well, I believe so, yeah.
Hey, John, if you're on the call, can you hear me?
You mean Joe?
John.
John. John Batson?
We're calling
to...
Was Joe and Tony calling in, or do you know?
Don't know yet.
Tony said no.
You are no longer muted.
But I think Joe said he could.
Okay.
I didn't see it. I just saw that he was going to be absent. Mm-hmm.
Craig, can you see if anyone can hear? Star 6, unmute
themselves. Was it Star 6?
Star 6.
Star 6. Yes, if anybody's on the line for the Historic and Preservation Commission, please hit Star 6 to make sure that you can be heard. Okay, I assume that nobody is online for the Historical Preservation Commission. I'll announce it again once we formally start.
Yeah, you should be able to hear them. There's three people on the call.
Three people, okay.
Well, two. There's two people on the call.
That should be
Jim
and John.
Here, one more sec.
Craig, your wallet is on.
There he is. That's
okay.
Joe.
Can he hear you?
Okay. Joe, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, excellent. All right.
That's what I need to know. You can continue. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And there's one other person, did you say?
Yeah, there is one person. I think it may be John Batson.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm waiting until his turn.
Oh,
it's
like 6 o'clock?
No, it starts at 6. I think that's delayed.
That's delayed. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
Got it. All right. That's, okay. Okay, we will call to order the October meeting of the Curie Beach Historic Preservation Commission. The first item is that we do have one member who is not present, and we have another member, Mr. Barlock, who is online. We normally excuse people. However, it's been suggested that we hold off on that and find out the reason for Tony in our next meeting, because there is a requirement that we have regular attendance and all that sort of thing. And it's particularly an issue because we had set up a 5 o'clock training and all that sort of thing. Mr. Eldridge, what would be the proper way to do that? We do have Joe online. So what's the best way that you think we should do this to address?
Well, is it an agenda item to excuse an absent member? I don't think it's on.
No. We usually bring it up at the meeting.
Right. I mean, bring it up next meeting.
So okay. Right now we just don't do anything. We do have a quorum here, so we don't have to do anything. Okay.
And Joe's present on.
And Joe is present online. By the way, just very quickly, when are we going to stop doing online?
That's up to council. Just currently, it's for the state of emergency that we're under.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right, so next item is adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, next item is the adoption of the minutes. Okay, excellent. Yeah, there is a delay, so I will be sure not to kind of jump over since there is about a 2 or 3 second delay. So, Adoption of the minutes. We have 2 minutes. We have our September 1st regular meeting and our September 1st special meeting. So let's take each one of those in order, if that's okay.
You can just make one motion?
Okay. Are there any changes to the minutes for September 1st?
No, because we were to have submitted them to Beth prior to tonight.
I'm requesting that you guys, when I send out the agenda packet, you review the minutes, because I do have to print the final copy for Craig to sign, the chairman. So it's just easier if I get the corrections and I can make them ahead. So we're not delaying you guys.
Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and make a blanket motion for the two. Somebody want to make a motion to adopt both sets of minutes?
Okay, I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Excellent. Public comments.
Aye.
Oh, that's right, I wasn't going to do that. Sorry. Yeah, he can vote. Yeah, he can vote.
He can under the new state of emergency if you're...
Oh, you can't? Oh, okay. Yeah. I apologize.
This is the procedure also allowed.
Okay. All right.
And remember, he's a full member of the historic preservation. He's an alternate on PNZ.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Okay.
One more screw up before I leave.
Okay. All right. Next item is public comment.
I have two people on the phone. One's Joe. I'm not sure who the other is.
Okay. If there's anybody on the phone that wants to have to say anything to the Historic Preservation Commission, I should point out that the Planning and Zoning Commission will be after this at 6:30. So this has to do with the Historic Preservation Commission meeting. So if there's anybody, I assume you're here for the Planning and Zoning Commission, is that?
She's actually here to present tonight.
Oh, so present. Okay, got it. That is?
The first agenda.
First, okay, I'm sorry. Oh, yes, okay. Hearing no public comments, we'll close that item. Old business is continued discussion of the historic properties designation. So let's go ahead, probably start the, if we want to have a presentation. Yeah, so.
I'd like to present, this is Rebecca Taylor. She's the office manager for the Federal Point History Center.
Excellent. Well, great. Thank you for coming.
Would you mind if I sit here?
Oh, no. That's perfectly fine. We might have to get you close to a microphone, though.
Oh.
I can move it. No worries.
Oh, yeah.
Drop
the mic.
We're high-tech here, so we can move a mic.
You just hold it back. I've had a cold, and if I start coughing, excuse me, I'll get some water. Okay. I don't know exactly where you are all in the process. You have a historic district commission. Have you been in contact with the state historic?
Yeah, let me kind of explain. We're a fully designated historic district right now,
okay.
And we've defined that. We've got our rules in terms of the certificate of appropriateness and all that sort of thing. So we're all set. What we were interested in. Is that several of the members thought it might be nice to have some sort of way of designating properties, either not necessarily in the historic district, but we have some older properties that it would be nice perhaps to have a designation somehow where they could get a plaque and so forth. So we're, you know, again, that process would probably be best described under the purview of the historic or the preservation commission.
Right.
So, but we're looking more for a designation and what's being done on the island in Carolina Beach and
can
so forth.
Can you tell me what the historic district encompasses?
It encompasses a 4-block area.
Commercial.
Yeah, the business district. You're familiar with K Avenue, Atlantic.
Yeah, basically the business district, a 4-block area around our stoplight. That's the best way to think about it. We have a stoplight and just draw a circle around the stoplight.
State Historic Preservation Office has done whatever they
yes.
do in consultation.
Yeah, we've gone through the historic preservation process.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, here are how you can designate individual sites or buildings. You can do a National Historic Site. That is a long, fairly complicated application which involves a good deal of research on architectural and historic significance of why you want that designated as a National Historic Landmark. You can go online. That application goes through the North Carolina Preservation Office to the National Park Service. And we have here on Pleasure Island, see if I can remember them, Fort Fisher, the Newton Home site, which is behind the Methodist Cemetery, the Joy Lee Apartments, which are Art Deco apartments in Carolina Beach on Carolina Beach Avenue North, and the two underwater archaeology sites, the Peter Hoff and the district that the archaeology guys put together. Excuse me. So those exist as national landmarks already. There is generally a 50-year rule, though there are exceptions to that. It's intended to preserve, to make a preservation of significant architecture or historical construction.
Would you like a cough drop?
I've got water right here. It's just, when I talk, it runs down the back of my throat. The next thing you can do is a state historic marker. That's a program through the State Archives and History. At the moment, they're not giving them out very rapidly because they've got a really limited budget and the plaques are really expensive. They've put several up in Wilmington lately. They put one up for the 1898 riots, and they're getting ready to put up another one that has something to do with 1898. John Mosley just wrote one for the WASPs, the Women Air Service Pilots, who flew targets over Fort Fisher during World War II. It was put up at Camp Davis in Holly Ridge. They are required to be on a main state route. So they aren't necessarily put on the building or the location. They're the closest main road that people will drive up and down. We're working on one for the Freeman family and or Freeman Beach, the black segregated beach north of the Snow's Cup. We haven't got it done yet because they're all backed up and they're not accepting any right now. So, but that's another possibility. There's the Wilmington Foundation plaques, most of which are in downtown Wilmington, but are available anywhere in Hanover County. The beaches, Wrightsville, Carolina Caribbean Beach, have a 50-year rule. Houses in Wilmington in the historic district have a 75-year rule. But there are a couple of Wilmington Foundation plaques at Carolina Beach on cottages that are 50 years old.
Okay, can you describe the process?
Okay, the process is an application process. Much of it is the same application as you do for the National Landmark. I'm sorry. They took a lot of the application, is to say, but they changed it. That costs $375, and most people pay a researcher, an architectural researcher, around $500. So those are not inexpensive.
Quick question.
Yeah.
To initiate the action, is it usually the property owner, or
in general, it comes from the property owner. Yes.
So they recognize their property. So it isn't the city, county, mm-hmm. or town going to them and saying, you have a property that's unique. We'd like to. Okay. So property owners initiate it.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are rules, but rules, I think, I'm not sure about this, only apply if you're in one of the Wilmington City Historic Districts, where they have a whole manual full of rules, right, what shrubs you can put and what color you can paint the shutters and what kind of door you can put up. But that doesn't, I don't think, apply outside of those districts. I'm not positive about it. The easiest is our plaque, which is simply a historic plaque which has the date and the name of the building or the first owner or whoever owned it belongs. We have about 20 of those. We're just getting ready to put one on the pier. We very much want to plaque as many of the World War II barracks as we can find. We are really doing encouraging people if you have a World War II barracks. There are no rules. You can do anything you want to it. It can have been changed. It's not, it's $100. You do it through our application, which is on our website. We will take the application, and then Barnes has agreed to do the title search to run it back to make sure we've got the right number, 50 years or 75 years. It is just bragging rights. It comes with, I have a historic building.
But you could tear it down tomorrow if you wanted.
Yeah, you can do anything you want with it. No rules. So that costs $100. And we pay the plaque maker $93. So we don't even get anything out of it, really. We are trying to plaque as many things as we can to get people to apply for. As I said, I'm trying to get as many of the Curry Cottage is also plaque.
It is.
I think those are the only two in Curry Beach.
Oh, okay. I walk by Atlantic Avenue. I don't recognize.
We just put a new plaque on it a year ago. We put the second one.
Okay, it's probably there. I just, yeah.
It's, I mean, they're not real prominent.
Yeah, because you got the Red Snapper, and what's the other one, Joseph?
You got the Curry Cottage. There's three.
Yeah, that are all pretty historically. Well, now, how did the Curry Cottage came to you, the owner came to you to want to do it?
Yeah.
How did they know that the plaque existed?
We just do as much publicity as we can. Okay. We got it on our website. Whenever we plaque a new cottage, we try to run a little thing in the paper saying, like, when we put the plaque up on the pier, yeah, we'll run an article in the newspaper.
Okay.
In hopes people will see it. It's bragging rights. I mean, it's just, but the more you have done, I mean, we've identified 48 barracks from Fort Fisher that still exist. But they're not even historic district.
Well, a couple of more, I think.
Yeah, and we'd like to get Bud and Joe's done.
Right.
Two little shops there together are. And we're doing the pier. That took a little convincing. We went to Mike Robertson and said, the pier needs to be done. We'll do it. I think probably the pier could be written up as a state historic marker.
Mm-hmm.
Mike said to me, somebody came down. Which must be the State Preservation Office, and said the pier didn't qualify because it had been rebuilt over and over, and it wasn't the original building. As far as we're concerned, it's the original pier. It's just had parts of it replaced when it walked away. So as far as we're concerned, it's the pier.
How old is the building? I know it's not the original structure, but it's still, I think, fairly old, looking at some of the old photographs.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, but it's rebuilt it and rebuilt it.
Yeah.
It started out little, and then it kind of added on to, and it's been replaced. So we're putting it on the pier. and we're calling it 1923. So.
Okay.
It is the oldest continuously operating ocean pier in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the oldest, but the older ones have washed away.
Right.
So I've seen advertisements, and I'm not sure if they're true, that says that it's the oldest continuing operating pier on the East Coast. Is that true?
We would have to do some research.
Okay.
You know, I know we have a book about North Carolina piers.
Okay. Oh,
and
okay.
It clearly says in the book about North Carolina piers.
Right.
I have records of piers in Carolina Beach that were built in the 1916 or 18. That went out to the Beauregard wreck, but they were attached to the wreck, so they weren't in the ground. I mean, it was like a floating thing that you walked out on, and it's gone, obviously. So, Curry Beach Pier is the oldest continuously operating ocean pier in North Carolina, and we can look at other piers and see it. It would take a little bit of research. So that's what you got.
Get your opinion
on
what thought I had, and I sent a letter. We've got these, along with the World War II houses, we've got all these, not all these, we've got several along Atlantic Avenue, and there's a couple inland that are just quintessential 1940 beach cottages.
Yeah.
I had put forth a suggestion to send a letter to these people and say, one paragraph. Don't make this say, hey.
Well, I actually thought about getting all their addresses, trying to find. The problem is a lot of them are not owned by locals.
No, I understand. that would be.
So you got to find the address,
right.
Which you could probably get from the
church. But if something came from. Okay, you would send a letter from your historian, we would say, Curry Beach would say from their historian, say, hey, you know, you've got a 1940 cottage, we'd like to see it keep like that. Our accountant, Arlen, said that that New Hanover County does offer tax breaks and deferred taxes.
In historic district.
So it's got to be a historic district.
It's got to be in a certified historic district.
So we'd have to expand the historic district to give those people the tax break.
Yeah, see, the cottage is mostly, I mean, Buddy Joe's does, but most of them are not in.
Yeah, if he said that, I'd have to call on that.
How far down Atlantic do you go?
It's LN Avenue, L Avenue.
We go one block in each direction.
Oh, how far to the district?
Yeah.
The district.
Only to
L.
L. Yeah.
Okay.
So
John Gregory's house, which is on
he's up
Fort Fisher Boulevard North, is one of the cottages.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you're historic.
He's not in the district.
No, I think that's.
Or he wasn't.
Yeah.
Not with us anymore. His family's home is not in our district, in that district.
So the first step, unfortunately, would be to approach the council and say, hey, we've got these places, they need to be, I shouldn't say they need to be reserved. There should be some effort to preserve them.
Yeah.
We need to expand a historic district to cover these. So that would be the first step.
Yeah.
Well, that the expansion would be primarily for the tax benefit that they would get.
Yeah,
you know, they could still be designated by the. Yeah,
you're right. Well, but that designation.
but it really
doesn't do squat other than give them a plaque. It doesn't protect. I mean, like I said, you get a plaque and tear it down tomorrow. I thought we were trying.
Yeah, but your historic district, you've got rules.
That's what I'm saying. So we're trying to preserve somebody, not just put a plaque on them.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Well, if what you're trying to do is put rules on them, then you got to put them inside your historic district.
Or get a federal designation.
Yeah. Well, the federal landmark it's only in a historic district.
I thought a federal designation of a historic property does not have to be in a historic district.
No, it does not.
Right. So,
but I don't think that protects it then.
It does under the North Carolina
statute.
If it's a state designation, it is
subject to COA.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, I haven't read the state laws.
So, but that's a long process. That's not an easy one.
It's really complicated.
And, Joseph, were you? Do you think there'd be any interest in expanding historic districts to try to save some of these colleges?
We could try.
I mean, do you think
I would appreciate it.
Do you think we should? Yeah. I mean, that's a recommendation we ought to make to council.
All they can say is that.
But would it be advisable to? I mean, the council defined the area.
Good.
I'm sorry.
You know, when we started the process, the council, we went to the council with a lot of different options.
Yes.
And the council specifically said the B1 district.
Yes.
So if, I think it would be appropriate for Joe to maybe talk informally with council members to see how they feel. But since we were designated and told by the council originally, I'd be a little nervous about going back to them with a formal recommendation.
Do you have the zoning map? Okay, if you don't, that's okay. That's all right. Because we could say, I mean, if we took it just to block up Atlantic Avenue, that, and where's this, the other one is, where's the other one, Kathleen, you were talking?
I thought it was on.
You said it was North Fifth, it's farther down? The one
yeah,
you just mentioned.
It's probably.
Oh, yeah, that house is up toward N.
Okay.
And then and there are several cottages scattered throughout Kerry Beach, so it's not.
We've identified 48 now.
Can that is that list we can get?
Yeah, it's on our website.
Would that be something we would like to see?
I think it's on our website.
John has a copy.
John has a copy.
Yeah. We also in
Jim,
our
Jim and John and Punky Curry got in a golf cart.
Is this the beginning of a joke?
And gave me a list.
Right. We also have when we in our designation report, we have identified the ages of a lot of the properties too, if I remember right.
We did.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's not just the cottage, the World War II barracks. I just think there's significant architectural.
To me, you got to start somewhere, and that those we.
Yeah. Yeah, you might want to look at our designation report because we had, the intern from UNCW go through and he identified when all of them were put together. So.
Yeah. Wherever in the business district?
No, I think it was certainly in the business district, but I'm not sure if he did outside the business district.
No, I
don't remember actually.
Yeah,
I
think it was just to the.
It might have been the business district. Business. Okay. All right. All right, so any. Further questions? Do we want to have a formal?
Well, let me just
sure,
say,
I'm sorry.
We would love to work with you all. Anything we can do to help, and you know, if you decide to send out a letter, we'll put our names on it too. You know, anybody who asks questions about the plaque program, tell them to call us. As I said, John Mosley has done a state historic plaque. I'm working on one, so we do have some local resources. On that, so don't hesitate to give us a call if you have stuff that you want us to join in with you.
Well,
now have these 42 properties have they been notified of this?
No.
This is just your all's research.
It's just I just got really interested in them, and I asked Punky, could he tell me? And they went and made a list. The list is a little iffy in a couple of places. So I took my camera and took pictures to follow. And I think it's on the website. It may not be on the website yet. I may have not got it up yet, but we're working on it. All our plaques are on the website.
Okay. So I think it sounds to me like there's two issues, whether the Historic Preservation Commission should take a role in contacting property owners to suggest that they may want to get the plaque from the Federal Point Historic Group. And the other question is, do we want to recommend to the council to expand the historic district? I mean, there are kind of two issues that I hear floating around right now.
Well, I think definitely, I don't see the harm or the downside of sending a letter to 42 people saying, hey, you have been designated, would you like a plaque?
Okay.
I mean, and explain that the plaque is free and there's no
It's $100.
$100, I'm sorry.
What it costs us to make.
There's no restrictions with that. In other words, you can paint your house purple the next day if you want it or anything like that.
Craig?
Yes.
I think our resident historian has something to say.
Okay, Gary, yes.
I didn't know if I had any stand in this because I haven't been whatever.
You can certainly talk. You may not be able to vote yet until next month.
To me, it would make sense if you're going to go to somebody and say, we want our district to be expanded. You know, if that's the whole thing that you give them, it could just be, they could take it as, oh, they just want to have more power. But if you say, these are historic sites within Curie Beach, and we only cover this, we would like to be able to cover this, to include those so that we have a little bit more, say, whatever. It would make sense or at least give a little bit more muscle into the request to expand outside of B1.
Right.
I think the request would identify the houses that we think.
Yeah, identified why you want to make it bigger.
But before we get that, I was going to ask a specific question. What is the, looking at the first question about sending out a letter to historic properties and suggest that they may want to, apply for the plaque. Does the Historic Preservation Commission have that authority to do that? Is it within the purview of us to do that, or would we have to be directed by the council?
Perhaps I'd have to look at the statute to rule it in or rule it out, but my point was going to be, and I thank that for tapping me on the elbow, everything we've ever done as HPC has always been run through one way or another council first. Are you all contemplating doing the letter on your own?
That's why I was asking whether we could even do that.
But I think from a practicality standpoint, you all would be better served by seeing what council thinks about that first.
We could certainly do that. The second question had to do with, I think, Gary's, is that extending the historic district, ideally what we would like to do, I think, is identify historic properties and extend the historic district specifically to those properties. But there's a lot of non-historic properties that are contiguous. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure, but I'm going to run this past Mr. Eldridge, that if we talk about extending the historic district, it has to be a contiguous type of thing. It just can't pick and choose different properties to extend it. It's got to be based upon boundaries.
Well, currently,
you'd have to establish the boundary. You'd be amending the zoning map with respect to the boundary of the historic district. Now, you could establish an additional historic district, but you're not going to be targeting properties. You're going to be targeting boundaries.
Right, because there are laws against targeting properties under zoning, if I remember right.
But also targeting properties would fall under the statute regarding landmarks, not historic districts. Very similar, but it would be a landmark if you're going to look at that house, and that house, and that house, and they're not in the district.
Okay, what's the pleasure of the commission on this? One is we could ask. Yes, go ahead.
One of the things was suggested is if there was a house that they could contact Carolina Beach to get a plaque. They're not in Carolina Beach; they're in Curie Beach. Why would they go outside of their?
Well, it's the federal point.
No, it's not Carolina Beach. Okay, it's the federal point. Okay, Historic Preservation Society, and we cover from Monkey Junction to Zeke's Island.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay. By the way, do you have any plaques off the island?
Yes, we have two on Carolina Beach Road north of the Snow's Cut. One is the Colonel Burnett House, and I can't remember what the other one is. And we very much want to do the Mount Pilgrim Church. Again, that specific building is not that old, but there's been a Mount Pilgrim Church for 75 years. We're trying to include Seabreeze particularly right now because we're really trying to get Seabreeze to be part of our organization. But we are open to anything from Monkey Junction to Zeke's Island.
Council meets Monday?
Monday.
Monday. Yep. I think there's two options. One is that we could do a formal thing that when on Monday when I'm at the council meeting, I could stand up when council goes through the historic district agenda item and give a quick summary of our discussion tonight and then ask what the pleasure of the council might be. Or we can ask Joseph as the representative and liaison to do that more informally on a kind of a one-to-one basis. Do you have a preference? I mean, there's two issues. One is writing the letters of interest to get plaques from the Fort Fisher, and the other is any interest in terms of extending the boundaries of the historic preservation.
And I've already mentioned that we would be discussing designating homes. I have not mentioned, of course, because it just came up tonight, expanding the historic district. I can note one council member that probably would not.
Oh, I agree 100% with that.
But I think I know a couple others that would, you know, be in favor of that.
Did you want to bring it up versus having me bring it up?
Bring it up also.
Okay, all right. So if that's okay, I can bring it up on Monday.
Then. So the topic is going to be, well, what are you going to
I think there's two topics. One is if the council would be willing to let the Historic Preservation Commission write letters to identified cottages or properties, encouraging them to apply to the Fort Fisher Historic Preservation Group to get a plaque. The Federal Point. That's one separate issue, and I'm pretty sure they would probably agree to that.
And that is all. The only thing I would modify that is that we already have 42 structures that have been designated by Federal Point within.
Well, they've identified.
I mean, we've identified.
Well, no, those would be the ones we would target, though.
Well, there might be some other cottages.
There could be more.
There may well be.
So we would have to do some research before
we send that letter. I personally think the council would be quite willing to let us do that. I don't see a problem with that. And then the second thing I would raise is to maybe think about if there's an interest in extending the boundaries of the historic district to include, maybe one or two other blocks that might have some historic property in it.
I would ask that if you approach that, you would say we have, there are structures such as the Red Snapper, and point out those that are there that are really of historical value to Curry Beach. So in other words, don't just say there are properties. Say, you know, here's three or four properties that on Atlantic Avenue that really.
That are not within the existing.
We're not in the existing thing, but are of historical importance to are the original cottages
over here. And again, we have to remember that the way we have set up our historic district is that it doesn't preserve those properties. What it does is it allows the property owner to build or do things that are consistent with the district. So. You know, it doesn't preserve those properties. Yes.
I send out the agenda officially tomorrow. Do you want me to officially add those topics to the agenda, or how would you like that?
The historic district is already an agenda item for, and so I can just stand
can
up and
up
I can just bring it up.
Official.
Yeah, when the mayor goes through that agenda item, I can just stand up and come up and just identify those two issues.
Sure.
Yeah.
Gary has something.
Gary, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Kathleen, any? You're fine with that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that sounds good. Good start.
You okay? Okay. Jim? Okay. All right. I don't think we need to make any motions on this, but.
The list of the ones we've identified.
If you could send that to maybe Beth fairly quickly so I can get that before Monday, I think that would be great.
Did you have the pictures of the Red Snap? You took pictures of the Red Snap? No? You said you took pictures of some of them.
I don't know about the Red Snapper. That's not one anybody identified to me. I'm working off the list.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, my people.
Beth,
well,
what's your
is to actually show those cottages.
C-H-A-S-E.
Yeah,
I don't mind going and taking the pictures. I'll bring them up to Beth.
Dot org.
and you could.
Let's just see if there's.
This
has got to be a graph.
Oh, yes, okay.
Believe me, the politics are pretty.
This is the tone of water. Let's see.
Sorry, yeah, exactly. Is anybody here contacting Brendan Coffey about the historic properties, especially the public
comments? She writes the book.
She's
she wrote the book. Yeah. Brenda has moved.
I know she's in
the salt.
We don't.
But we do have her email.
That's true.
Makes it consistent. That's the thing.
But it's not that.
Which did. But no.
And we have, she gave us all her pictures.
Good.
So we have all the originals from the book.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Excellent. We only have
hope
one more.
You get better. You're colder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One more agenda item.
It's just
and
my head just keeps.
Craig, before we move on, though.
Yes.
We're going to swear Kat's clean in as well.
Well, I, okay.
Because you haven't taken yours.
Well, I did it over the phone, but I guess.
Oh, did you do it over the phone?
Uh-huh.
You can just, sign yours then.
To sign it, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and sign yours then.
Okay.
Thank you very much. It's not an agenda item, but it's old business. I wanted to check with Beth. I looked on the website, and I see that, I mean, you've done a wonderful job with the Historic Preservation Commission and the COA application and description and all of that, but it's under, what's it called, locals?
It's under locals.
Can you move it to P&Z?
I will.
Actually, we need our own link. I mean, this is a separate.
Actually, I have pretty much, I've done the page. Mandy's on vacation, so we're bringing it back to the November meeting.
Okay.
And you'll have a whole page.
Oh, cool.
It's near completion.
Yeah, it sure is. It looks great.
Yeah, I actually have to.
You have to administer.
Yeah, you got to. So, yeah, no, that's a good point. We talked about that last time, that the Historic Preservation Commission is going to have its own separate link, separate from the P&Z.
And then I will move the COA, but right now I just didn't really have a home, so it's just there.
Yeah,
okay.
But we'll move it.
We also have an additional agenda item. It technically would be under old business, so let's talk about that then, and that's the rescheduling of the training.
I was just putting on the November meeting, correct?
Well, Kim's going to, tonight's Kim's last night, so we will advertise for a position. So I would wait until we get that position filled.
If you do that in December, it's an organizational. Okay.
This is your last night.
Yeah.
And whatever you, however long you postpone
during
training, you postpone by addition.
Okay, so what did we decide on the? So what did we decide on the training? Okay, so we'll hold off and not put it on the November agenda.
I'll email you guys and we'll figure that part out.
Okay, and before we administer the oath, also just want to make sure that we're all okay for our November meeting time.
Remember, we set a schedule.
Yes, we did, but.
But it creates a whole lot of problems.
If we move.
The day each month before.
I just want to remind, given what. Okay, this is more or less a reminder.
Sorry,
so.
One second, I'm pulling it up. November the 3rd.
November the 3rd, okay.
Actually, yeah, November the 3rd. Yeah.
Okay. So I just want to make sure everybody has that in the calendar. In the calendar. Okay. New business. Oath of office for Gary.
Gary, can you come up here to the mic?
Should I bring this so I can read it?
Yeah, you can bring this for me.
I haven't memorized it yet.
You can talk into the mic. Can you just repeat after me?
Okay.
I say your name.
I, Gary Blossom.
Swear that I will support and maintain the Constitution and laws of the
Swear that I will support and maintain the Constitution and laws of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws of the State of North Carolina, not inconsistent therewith.
And the Constitution and laws of the State of North Carolina, not inconsistent therewith.
And that I will faithfully discharge my duties as a member of the Historic Preservation Commission for the Town of Greenwich.
That I will faithfully discharge my duties as a member of the House of the Historic Preservation Commission for the Town of Curie Beach. So help me God.
Thank you.
Yay!
And then I'll take that. Thank you.
You'll get your car next week.
My car?
Car.
Car. I just got a new car.
All right. Last item, unless there's any other member items?
Robert, I just wanted to make a note that this is Ken's last historic meeting.
We thank you. And we'll thank you again at P&Z, too.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate both thanks.
All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay. It's been seconded. Gary seconded. Excellent. And all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay.